All right, so you see that, you see, as at the time of David, David said clearly, very clearly, the heavens are the heavens of the Lord, and the earth he has given to the sons of men. Do you understand the point I am making? The devil does not, you know, I said something the other day, let me just qualify it again. The devil has, you know, like I have enough power to carry this thing up. You understand my point? That's the kind of power the devil can have in himself. You understand? When I was saying doesn't have any power, then I was referring actually because when you're reading the Bible, there's what they call authority. Authority is the ability to exercise power. You understand what I'm going to say? Or to dictate the release, the use of power. That's one thing the devil never had on the earth or except people give it to him. You understand my point? That's one thing you have to be sure of. All right? Now, so you see that the earth belongs to mankind. That's why God does not ever judge the earth because of the actions of the devil. Are you getting what I'm saying? He judges the earth, why, how? Because of the actions of the people that are on earth. Because they are the ones that are in charge. And again, it's not just the devil that is the issue here. Even God himself, the same thing applies. God cannot do anything on this earth except he involves people. He has to do it through men. Get this clear. That is why even though, there's something about the character of God. God is very merciful. The Bible says that he's abounding in loving kindness. The Bible says that he's slow to anger. Get this clear. He's very slow to anger, but he's great in compassion. New are his mercies every morning. The compassion of the Lord, the Bible says, does not ever fail. Do you understand what I'm going to say? Yet, men keep on getting destroyed every day. Why? There are a number of reasons. One of them is that even though God's compassion does not fail, the judgment of God is initiated automatically by the actions of men. Do you understand my point? And where his compassions will abound is when people make a demand on the compassion of God for the people on the earth. Are you following these points I'm making? That you see, you look and say, God is merciful, so he will not punish somebody. That is not the issue. God is merciful, but the person can by his own hands bring judgment upon himself. But this is the mercy of God, that a man who is pleasing to God will not ask that, God, you are a merciful and compassionate God. Do not let this person come into destruction. I hope you are getting the point I am making. That's just the way this earth is. In fact, let me just read this scripture. I think it will make this thing clear. Ezekiel 22. Let's read from verse 30. I hope I'm not talking too fast. If I am, say yes, I am. Okay. Okay, Ezekiel 22, sorry. Did I say 30 or 22? Okay. Now, just to describe God's mercy. He said, God was talking about the people in the land. Let's just go a step backward. He said in from verse 26, her priests have done violence to my law and have profaned my holy things. Go to verse 27. Her princes within her are like wolves tearing the prey. Verse 28, and her prophets have smeared whitewash for them, seeing false visions. Verse 29, the people of the land have practiced oppression and committed robbery, and they have wronged the poor and needy and have oppressed the sojourner without justice. Yet God is very merciful. So what did he do? Verse 30, and I searched for a man among them who should build up the wall and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found no one. Do you get my point? God is merciful, but if he doesn't find anybody calling for his mercy, there's nothing he can do. Are you getting the point I'm making? God is merciful, but somebody must ask for that mercy of God upon the land. That's the point I'm trying to make. Now, you have to understand again. God said, I search for a man amongst them who should build up the wall. Listen to me. It's not as if nobody was praying. Maybe some people were praying. I don't know. But I know that the issue with God is not just somebody who will get up and start shouting what he or she calls prayer. He said, so you see there that if you now read verse 31, God said, thus I have poured out my indignation on them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their way I have brought upon their heads, declares the Lord. Now, are you understanding the point I'm making here? That, you see, God said he didn't find a man. Now, that now takes me back to what I was saying about the person who is praying. That takes me back there. But before I go back, let me just conclude this. The point is this. God needs a man to stand on this earth for him to do what he wants to do on the earth. Do you understand my point? Though he had proposed to deliver the children of Israel out of captivity after about 70 years, but he raised up Daniel, who noticed that thing, and took that prayer back to God. Like he said, I have such, he said, I have set upon your thy walls watchmen. He now said, give, he said, do not give the Lord any rest until he reestablishes Jerusalem as a praise upon the earth. You understand the point I'm making? Now, what will watchmen do? The watchmen will watch to see what the Lord wants to do and pray accordingly. Do you understand what the point I'm making? Because if they do not stand to open their mouth and demand that God should do something and ask God to do something for that land, though God wants to do it, he will not do it. Why? Because the heavens are the heavens of the Lord. Do you understand my point? He said, but the earth he has given to the sons of men. So when Jesus was teaching the disciples to pray, he said, pray like this, thy will be done on earth as it is done, you know, as it is written in heaven. Now, in heaven, God can write anything he wants. But until somebody on the earth says, thy will be done upon this earth, there is nothing that will happen. Do you get the point I'm making? For example, something is very clear. God is slow to mercy, abounding in loving kindness. So John said, if you see a brother or a sister sinning a sin that is not unto death, pray for that person. Because if you don't pray for him, nobody prays for him, his sin will find him out. You understand what I'm saying? The consequences of his deeds will be found in his life. But if it's a sin that is not unto death, John said, you can pray and the Lord will forgive him. Though the man himself is not consciously asking for forgiveness. He's not consciously asking for mercy. But if it's somebody that you know, somebody you are personally related with, and you know that what this fellow is doing will bring him to judgment, John said, as long as it is not the judgment of death, no problem. Because that tells you that there are different kinds and intensities of sin. There is one that the children of Israel committed until Jeremiah prayed, God said, too late. You understand my point? Please, he said, no, it's too late. Yet there was a time Moses prayed and God said, all right, because you have asked, I will leave them. Just because Moses asked. Now, I'll still come back to that point I was making. Now, this is the point that God said, I sought for a man. This is where I want to sit on today. That there is a teaching I had long ago. Now, get my point? It's not a bad teaching. It's just we need to add a bit of balance to it. We're taught in the body of Christ, in the word of faith, that, listen, you go to God and argue your case before God. And if your case is strong enough, God will hear you. Now, that is very correct in his own line. But the point I wanted to get today into your heart and into your spirit is this. It is not those points that you argue that make God hear. It is the person that is asking that God is hearing. Did you hear what I said? There is something with God. You know, I was brought up initially as a believer to think that all of us are on the same level as long as we have faith in Christ Jesus. I have found that it is not so. Do you get me? It is absolutely not so. We are all potentially on the same level. We have our entrance to God by reason of our faith in Christ Jesus. However, you did hear me so? There is a difference in the extent to each one of us, to which each one of us is using our privilege. You understand what I'm saying? Now, there is what is called sonship. That is, everybody is born a child. But in the Jewish custom, I read about it, that they have a day in which a child is said to have matured, and that day the child is adopted, in quote, that using that word, as a son. Now, what you are saying, that this boy is no longer a kid. Now he can take responsibility and make decisions in this house. Do you understand my point? The same thing happens with God. Children of God are not all on the same level. People pray differently. I mean, they get different answers depending on the kind of person they are in God's presence. Let me get this clear to us very clearly. That prayer is not as much as the words. Because sometimes you see people teach as if you get enough words out of the Bible, you understand? You can harass God until he will hear you. Unfortunately, sometimes he doesn't even hear anybody talking. So you will stand there and be shouting. He's not hearing. That's why, you see, I've heard people, you know, you see people who have absolutely no fear of God. Their lifestyle, they are not walking in the fear of the Lord. But when they want to talk to you, they will counsel you to go and pray about the matter. Because when issues happen, they get on their knees and they begin to pray. And let me tell you this, it may not sound nice, but a lot of such people, in fact, for such people, God does not hear any other prayer apart from a prayer of, I am sorry, I will not sin again. Do you understand the point I am making? Now, get this clear. God said at the point, if Moses and Samuel were to get up and pray about this matter, Jeremiah, I won't even hear. What he was saying is that Moses and Samuel, they have a special place in my heart. Usually when they ask for things, I give it to them. Are you following what I'm saying? I'm trying to explain that before God, there is what qualifies you to pray about a matter. That's the first thing I want you to understand. Let me come practical because I believe that that's when I'll be able to get my point across. We all live in Nigeria today. It's a nation that we all believe in. You understand? Well, sorry. We all live in. Did I use the word believe? I pulled that word back. That we all live in. And those of us who are here. And occasionally, churches and Christians gather to pray for their nation. Every time I have been asked to lead a prayer for the nation, I always start with a long message on repentance. Let me explain my reason. Because no matter how much you cry for the country in prayer, as long as your attitude is, this country is finished, God is not even hearing. Get my point. Your prayer is not rising beyond the ceiling. It's even worse if you are praying it on ground floor and there's a decking on top of you. Because the concrete is even reducing the permission. Oh, that's a joke. But what I'm saying is this. If you have an attitude of, this country is finished, not just an attitude in your heart as you are praying, but as soon as you finish the prayer, you sit down with your friend and you are watching TV. I told you that all these governments are very useless. In fact, Nigeria is a dead country. I always knew it. Listen to me. Don't waste your spit. Don't waste your time. Don't waste your sleep. That means don't deny yourself sleep. Claim you are praying for the country. You don't have any standing before God to speak about the nation. Let me say something to you. God acts based on the principle of mercy. But what I have noticed is that some men before God, they are so full of mercy that this God is pouring mercy upon them. It's their mercy they donate to other people. Listen, open to Genesis chapter 20. No, for time's sake, sorry, don't open. I'll just tell you what is there. In Genesis chapter 20, Abimelech took Abraham's wife because he thought that it was his sister. And brother Abraham, or father Abraham, like they call him, was guilty of lying about his wife. But God, for certain reasons, you know, I was telling you last, two sessions ago, I think, that, you know, the way God judges people, you don't know. So just be very, very careful. You understand my point? Just be very careful. I said Genesis 20. So after Abimelech took Abraham's wife, God now went to Abimelech at night and said, as I'm looking at you right now, you're a dead man. The guy said, ah, dead? I'm still breathing. God said, you know when I say you are dead, I mean you are very dead. Ah, what have I done? Say, see that woman? Say, yes. Is that man's wife? And the man is a prophet. Don't you think you're a dead man? Ah, the people say, yeah, Mugbe. It was not intentional. And you know that it was not intentional. God said, yes. That's why I have prevented you from touching her up till now. And I'm coming to warn you. Now, so that you and your household will not die, he said, take the man's wife and go and give it back to him. And then tell him to pray for you. When he has prayed for you, I will forgive you. Okay, you don't believe me? Open. Let me just read it. Don't bother opening it for time's sake. I just read verse 7. Now, therefore, restore the man's wife, for he is a prophet, and he will pray for you, and you will live. Are you seeing that? Why? Because merely taking the woman's wife had already set his life on a particular course, which he didn't have the ability to turn around by his own personal prayers. So God said, that fellow is a prophet. Concerning the situation, he will pray for you, and then you will be restored. Are you getting the point I'm making? Now, there's another point. You can, well, open to this if it will make you happy. Open to Job chapter 42. I know that before God, we're all potentially the same thing, the same person. In Christ Jesus, that is true. But how are we using it is what makes the difference between one person and another. There are those who bear fruit 30-fold, while some are bearing 100-fold. And there are those who don't bear fruit at all. Job chapter 42, right? Now, you know all the story about Job, so I won't go into everything again. But I'll just read one line from verse 8. From verse 7. And it came about, after the Lord had spoken these words to Job, that the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, My wrath is kindled against you and against your two friends, because you have not spoken of me, what is right, as my servant Job has. Now, therefore, take for yourselves 7 bulls and 7 rams, and go to my servant Job, and offer up a burnt offering for yourselves. And my servant Job will pray for you, for I will accept him, so that I may not do with you according to your folly, because you have not spoken of me what is right, as my servant Job has. Notice that God is speaking to these men, but in his eyes, they are not even qualified to pray a prayer to restore them back on this matter. What does that tell you? God says clearly, go and meet Job to pray for you about this matter. Listen, I have told you that though God desires to do certain things on the earth, he will not do them except somebody joins his voice with that of God. That's why Jesus taught his disciples to pray like this: thy will be done on earth as it is written in heaven. I'm adding that word to bring out the sense in what Jesus was saying. That is, there are certain things that God wants to do on the earth, but the way you will pray about it is to, the way those things will come to pass is that you will take it, you that is the servant of God here, and speak according to that which God wants to do. Then it will have a reason to come upon the earth. God always has a human reason to interject on this earth. Do you understand the point I'm making? Abraham, there was something he did that God raised him up to do, so that God would be able to do something else for the rest of the earth. Because he said, in you, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. Are you getting the point I'm making? Listen, when it comes to prayer, it is not the words that are the issue. It is the person who is uttering those words. And God, listen, has favorites. Let nobody tell you he doesn't. The angel arrived and told Daniel, the reason why I have come is because you are highly esteemed. The last Israelite that prayed that prayer didn't cross the stratosphere. Is there anything like that again? I learned some physics long time ago. The other guy who prayed, the smoke just carried the prayer, it diffused. But you, Daniel, you are highly esteemed. Therefore, this is your own prayer. It has a special effect. Are you getting the point I'm making? There was a time I was speaking with somebody and I said that if God has, I mentioned a very few number of people, I'm talking about Nigeria then, it's many years ago, praying for the nation, that certain things will happen. And she said like, no, I'm talking about righteous people. And she looked like, Abba, are you trying to say Nigeria doesn't have, maybe I was making something like 10 or so. Abba, Banky. I can't remember exactly what I said, but when I remember now, what's her own problem? She knows the number of people that go to church on Sundays. She knows the number of ministers there are. Abba, even her friends who are supposedly righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, they are more than 10. So she felt, no, you can't be serious. I smiled, didn't say anything much, but look, listen. Don't let anybody fool you. The whole of the land of Israel, there were many Pharisees and priests and everything. Jeremiah was the only person that God marked that would not die in the destruction. Listen, you know, I keep on saying this. Men are not all equal before God. When God was going to test Job with those trials, what did he tell the devil? Go and touch whatever he has. And his servants were dying. Do you get my point? That is, between God and Satan, the servants were part of the property of Job. They were human beings. Oh, you didn't notice that? Go and touch all that he has. All his children, they killed them. Go and tell all that he has. They were killing his servant. Are you getting my point? That is, the people by themselves had no power with God, had no right. You don't get my point. After God gives them sun and gives them rain, he doesn't give them anything again. Anything else they want, you're going to ask Job. So when it was time for temptation, they said, everything that he has. So Satan and the boys look and said, these are part of Job's property, are they not? So yes, I'll kill them too. That was why those ones died though. Are you getting the point I'm making? Somebody said, David carried the ark wrongly. Uzzah died. Do you understand my point? Nothing happened to David. You have to get the point. David was the one that said, carry it like this. And who died in the process? Uzzah. Oh God.
May you walk with God in such a manner that you won't be another person's example. That is, they want to give somebody a lesson, they kill you. You know, may my life not be like that of Uzzah. Who David just used him to learn a bad lesson. You know, like, next time you won't carry ark like that. Ah! About God, are you serious? Yes. So to show it to you, let me shoot Uzzah. Boah. Uzzah died. David died. Lesson. Why? Men who personally, they don't have any power before God. Are you getting the point I'm making? Now, Jesus was a unique one. When he got there, he said, Father, I know you hear me always. That is, there is nothing I've ever asked for that you have not yet done. There is nothing. That is, he will pray all night. In fact, I don't want to share some of those things now because I'm learning them myself. Because I'm beginning to get insight into what Jesus used to pray about. Because for a long time I was praying that, Father God, what was he saying all night? Because I know he wasn't praying for food. I know he wasn't praying for protection. There are certain things he was not praying for. So what was it that he would pray for all night? Let me give you a small hint. No, honestly. All he was, in my own opinion, the way I understand it, I'm still getting some more insight. He will come every day, ask, you know, because listen, he had grown so big in God's presence that he had a huge mercy account. Now, do you understand what I'm saying? That's the way it is. The closer you are to God, the higher, the bigger your mercy account is with God. So you just keep drawing on it for other people. Do you understand my point? So what he just does is simple. There is a way they connect into faith in Jesus. And once they have connected, he just goes at night and starts praying about the leprous man that he will meet tomorrow, the blind one that is coming across his way, and declaring God's mercy upon them. So he comes down. He said, I do nothing of my own. As I hear, so I do. My father, I do where they walk. So he just looks. Oh, these three guys, I saw them last night on the mountain. Three of them are healed. Do you get the point I'm making? Now, that's a small insight into what he used to do. It's simple. It's pleading the mercy of God. Because, you see, what God does is that there are men who before him have a huge mercy account. Are you getting my point? Listen, that's why the only time the Israelites gathered to pray was for repentance, when they have sinned. Most serious matters, look, read in your Bible, serious issues, people don't gather. It's either Moses and God alone. God said, I'm killing all these millions of people. God said, you have to, Moses said, you will cross me first before you reach them. Say, yes. So if you are going to kill the guy, in fact, you know the interesting thing? All the raking Moses raked for God, God answered him, forget that talk. He said, if you won't go away, if you won't spare them, blot my name out of the book of life. God said, those who sin against me, they are the ones I will blot their name out. So shut your mouth and stop raking. Yet, because of Moses, Moses said, don't destroy these people like that. For people say, it's the argument he brought before God. He showed to God what God will suffer and how people will blaspheme the name of. No, look, listen, go and read it well. They won't be the first that God will kill. Neither were they the last. Their descendants after them, what happened to them? Their descendants after them. In fact, all the people, what still happened? They didn't get into the promised land. But there was something that happened. Moses just had a desire. And before God said, God, I beg. God said, because of you, Moses, listen, most of the things God will do for this earth, for the people around you, is just because of you. There is no other reason. There is no other reason. There are a lot of people who are surviving despite their iniquity because of one person who, and God's, the person went to God and said, this person, now my papa, please now. And God looked like, say, I've killed him 10 times over. But for your sake, I let the guy be. Are you getting the point I'm trying to make? That the most important thing we have to understand is not the voice, is not, look, is this this I understand, is not the plenty grammar. How is the God that created Jupiter and added it to the moon? How the magnificence and omnipotence and the temerity of his power is too fantabulous that it. But God just looks at, when you finish your English, you tell me what your problem is. I can imagine God just say, look, when you finish all this big grammar, you will let me know what the matter is. He said, God, actually, you know, yesterday, I just let me just pray for this, my friend. See, if I just talk about all this English, you are using to wind me up as if. No, listen. With God, what matters is the person praying, not the voice, not the language, not all that one. I hope what I'm saying is making sense to you. And that is what I want to understand. When you're talking about the servant of God who is rising to pray before God, what when God says, I sought for a man, it's not as if nobody was praying, but there was nobody that had the weight to be able to pray about the matter they were praying about. And that is what I believe is the reason why Jesus didn't, he never joined his disciples together. Let's join hands and pray. Because their joining hands with him is a waste of his time. Do you follow the point I'm making? The amount of weight, he has too much to do than to be wasting time with Thomas and Judas. Poor Thomas. Thomas don't suffer. Just because that is a lack of faith at that point. It has been inimical to his public image. All right. Let's see, Brother Thomas. But the point is that with him, everything he asked the Father for was granted. He didn't need the joining hands of his disciples. I hope you are following the point I'm making. So that ministry was sustained based upon his own petitions and supplications alone. I want us to get those points clear. Because once we get them clear, we'll understand that the first thing about prayer is not the big words, but the character. Do you understand my point? In fact, there are a few scriptures I want to read just to show us the reason why God hears people always. Of course, let me summarize it by saying, the issue is a personal walk with God. The first one, should I just bother to read it? Okay, I'll just quote a few of them and then read a few other ones. All right? All right, maybe you should open to Proverbs 15:8. But in Psalm 17, verse 1, David said, give ear to my prayer, which is not from deceitful lips. That's the point I want you to understand. That is, a mouth that speaks deceit normally has a problem getting prayers answered in God's presence. It's how a man walks normally, how a woman walks normally before God that determines the amount of weight the person has with God, and therefore the amount of impact the prayer will have. Especially like I was given as an example, you don't get up and pray for a nation that you don't have a serious wish for. Do you understand my point? In fact, if you remember, maybe I should bother, in Jeremiah chapter 29, God was telling the children of Israel, he said, seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile and pray to the Lord on his behalf. Now, the point I'm making from there is this. The people who can pray to God for that city, for their welfare, are those who are already seeking the welfare of the city. When we're talking about prosperity, I was explaining that, listen, you don't come... Look, if you're not ready to invest money in Nigeria, listen, as a person, your prayer does not have effect on it. Now, I mean that equivocation? Yes, that's the word. No, really. I mean it. That I'm not saying if you have not invested. That's not what I'm saying. If you are not ready, if you do not have the heart that will risk cash, ordinary money, for the land, your prayer for it has no effect. Your prayer for its prosperity doesn't have any effect. If you are not ready, your heart is not ready to walk there. Your prayer for it concerning prosperity does not have any effect. Because you are not personally seeking. When God is talking about those who are seeking the good of the land, what it means is that I am willing to fill a pothole. You understand what I'm going to say? I'm doing material and physical things that can improve the situation of the place. Do you understand my point? Let me give an example. They offer you a job in civil service. I can never work in civil service. They don't stop praying for it. You understand my point? Stop praying for it. Stop, because you see, it is not just opening mouth to shout. The Bible talks about the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. You know, James chapter 5. You know, let me tell you what. That word, effectual, fervent, if you read Amplified, said heartfelt. What I have come to understand is that a matter that doesn't grind you really at heart, to provoke a personal response from you, you really can't pray effectively about it. Maybe next time we'll talk about the issue of passion. We'll talk about the issue of passion in prayer, because you see, it's not just, and I told you sometimes I go for prayer meetings. They say, and thank God for this, for speaking in other tongues. Well, people hide behind it when they don't really have anything to say. Neither are they willing to say anything. I hope you know that. No, there are things I'm afraid to say, because one day one brother was talking to me in my house.
He has made this statement. He said, you didn't used to talk like this before. Yes, I did it because I didn't know as much as I do now. Do you get the point I'm making? Because sometimes people say, okay, now, let us pray for Enugu State. The guy, look, get my point? He's not saying anything. But he has to appear like he's praying. So he's just talking, sorry to say, nonsense. Listen, he doesn't give a damn if you smoke Enugu State. Really, he doesn't. He's not planning to do anything about improving it. You now gather him all night to be praying for Enugu State. Why don't you just let the man sleep? Listen, your prayer is going to have effect. Look, you know, let me tell you what. I was praying about something about 2 nights ago with my wife. You know, something else came to my mind. I said, let's pray about this thing. I just realized that the way I prayed about that matter, all right, it had to do with economy, finances, prosperity, and stuff like that in this country, you know. I realized it was born out of this series of teachings we just had on spiritual economics. So that when I spoke, it was with, you know, it was with passion, it was from my heart. I knew what I was saying. Actually, one of the things I was doing, I said, God, I will ask you about something, but for now, if this is okay with you, there's a particular company. I said, I'm going to ask you for that company. And it's a big company in Nigeria. Really, really. So I will ask for it. Ask for me, of me. He said, I will give you the hidden as an inheritance. And I'm serious. Anything. Now, this is why, you see, that's why 10 people will pray about the same thing. God seems to answer one. Using the same words, the same scriptures, the same arguments. All of them have studied their legal precedence with God. He has forgotten that God checks the coat of the lawyer that's talking. Not just, it's not the legal precedence he brings to court. Is what is your name? You announce your name. After that, any argument you give is not hearing. No, are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you getting the point I'm making? That the first thing in this matter is not just to go and shout and start praying. First, you have to enter into a place where you really know that you have God's audience concerning one particular matter. Second, to discover exactly what God would like to do about that matter. Before you start wasting all your time and pray morning after. Look, sometimes I wonder whether that is the reason why. Anyway, let me just leave that statement. All right, it won't be very clear. Anyway, I told you to open somewhere because I want to close now. Huh? Okay, I was explaining why God, the reasons why God, why people are different before God in prayers. All right? I'll just read this and I'll close. Then maybe next time, if I have time, I'll add some things to it. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 8. He said, chapter 15, verse 8, sorry. It said, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. Are you noticing that? That there is a way a man walks that make God like to hear him pray. You know, Bible said they have healed the wounds of the daughter of my people slightly, saying peace, peace when there is no peace. Sometimes we don't tell the body of Christ the truth that, brethren, when you come to church, it's not just to come and pray. How you walked during the week matters whether this your prayer will have effect or it won't. Do you follow the point I'm making? Anyway. Maybe, I don't know, one day along the line, we'll talk about the mercy that's in the blood of Jesus. It's very important because, you see, the reason why God ever had any sacrifice, that is, accepted any sacrifice of the hands of the children of Israel, because, you see, mercy, actually, the mercy of God, okay, actually is tied to the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. Again, like I said, what happened was that all that mercy was bought from God by him with his blood. As a person, he went with God to a particular level where his mercy account was so large. Do you understand what I'm saying? Then when he died, what he did was to carry all that and just drop it on the earth. Then men begin to tap into that mercy based on certain principles. And that's what we'll talk about another time. If you Kingsley remind me if I forget, that I said I will say something about the mercy that's in the blood of Jesus. But anyway, let me close today's one by just reading another one of these scriptures. John chapter 8, verse 29. Talking about why Jesus said, the Lord heard him always. If you read verse 29, he said, let me just have 8 again. When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he. And I do nothing of my own initiative, but I speak these things as the Father taught me. And he who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone. For I always do the things that are pleasing to him. Are you following that? He said, the Father is with me always. I'm tying that to the reason why he was here all the time. In fact, he told the disciples, he said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, then you will ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. That is, it's not just the matter of just asking. The person who asks is the primary thing that God is watching out for. Do you understand what the point I am making? When it comes to answers to prayer, listen to me. It appears as if God shows favoritism. The reason is because you need to get a hold of God first before you are able to get answers for prayers from him. Do you get my point? We don't have time today. I would have loved to talk about the issue of when the Bible says God hides his face. What he's saying is that, if you go and read the Proverbs chapter 1, he said, now before I tell you what he said in Proverbs chapter 1, when God hides his face, what he's saying is simple. The people are no longer able, let me summarize in these words, to receive answers to prayer from his hands. Because he said in Proverbs chapter 1, around verse 28, he said, at that time, they will ask, he said, they will seek for me, they will not find me. He said, they will cry, but I will not answer. What he's saying is, at this point, I have hidden my face from them. No matter how much they seek for it, they won't find it. Do you understand my point? Now, so you find that before people really can come to God, something like Abraham, and make demands for a whole city, listen, there is something that they have before God that nobody else in that city has. Do you get the point I'm making? I will leave that with us today, that there's a pathway into God's presence that allows you to download prayers, answers to prayers. Come on. A man, a woman has to make up his or her mind to walk therein. It's not just to go and learn how to pray. Do you understand my point? It's not the words. It is not the words. It's the person. That's what the Bible is. When the Bible uses the word righteous, there's the way it's qualified. It's the way the person is living. We'll talk about that in relation with the sacrifice of Jesus somewhere along the line. But get the point clear. The reason why we pray in the name of Jesus and it has effect is simple. That the mercy account that Jesus has with the Father is so large that he has now donated to us. So we are saying, God, look, listen, on my own, nothing for me here, but there's a mercy account I'm taking from. But what I'm using that one to let us know that it is because Jesus himself had reached a particular point with the Father. Not as God, but as man who walked with God and got to a particular place in life. Now, that is what makes his prayer answerable. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? That's why he will come boldly and say, there is nothing I ask from the Father he does not give me. Do you know, look, do you know what they told Peter? When Peter was cutting up Malchus's ear, he said, do you think that I, after you have known me, if I wanted deliverance from this situation, would not I have asked the Father for 12 legions of angels? Wouldn't it have been here? He said, Peter, put your sword back. We don't need it. Let's stop here because I really want us to finish on time. Father, we give you thanks for today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your understanding. Thank you for your words. Thank you for the plan of nobility and high esteem that you have for each and every one of us. I ask for everybody listening to me today, Father, open their eyes, open their hearts, that they might see it and understand it and walk therein, so that they will become that servant that prays and gets results on this earth. So that by them you will change nations. So because of them, Lord, you will forgive sins. That's my prayer today. In Jesus' name. Amen.